So, hello, I'm Reverend Barbara with Creative Living with Reverend Barb from KRFC 88.9. And Diane Fromm has asked me to have a conversation with her about her new upcoming book, Step Parenting the Grieving Child, Five Insights That Could Change Your Life Right Now. And I jumped into this because as a step parent and as a step parent that has beat my head against the wall, because it's not like the Brady Bunch after all. I was very excited to read some of this book, and even though my and to see what the differences are between a grieving child and just the regular step-parent divorce situation, and I'm pretty surprised by all the differences. So, hi, Diane.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you. And so my first, how did you end up in this? I mean, why? Have you been just reading and studying? Are you a step-parent? What is your...
Yes, as a matter of fact, I am a step-parent, and I'm also a writer, so the book is a good intersection of the two. But in 1994, I married a widower with two children, 8 and 6, and... they were 6 and 4 when their mother died from cancer.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So when I stepped in, I had not really researched or educated myself at all about step-parenting at all,
uh-huh.
not to mention step-parenting when a parent has died. And so a lot of my experience was jump in and swim.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really think about writing about the experience until I had some real aha moments later on down the road, like, oh boy, I wish I had done certain things differently.
Somebody could have told me that.
Right, yeah. Right. And then amazingly, when I started pursuing written material or any kind of material about this specific niche, you know, not just a divorce situation, but when a parent has actually died or a child has been abandoned, you know, mm-hmm. to broaden that audience. There really was nothing dedicated to this topic. I found 4 pages in a book about divorce.
There's not that much about step-parenting that's positive anyway. I mean, I did some research before I got in, and most of it is very negative, I found. And you're in love, and you want everything to be glorious and happy, so you ignore all that negative stuff anyway.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. You go in. Most of us go in with a very can-do attitude and a very fantastical view of helping and what this could be like, and there are just certain realities that it makes sense to know from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
It'll just help immensely in reducing disappointment and increasing better relationships.
Well, I think, too, that people go in, people I've talked to go into it with this idea that you're going to walk in and everyone's going to be so happy to see another parent on the scene, and you're all just going to be this warm and cozy and happy instant family, just to add water, because we all grew up with the Brady Bunch and they just moved in together and everybody was great.
Yes, exactly.
And that is really not how it goes.
The National Step Family Resource Center has a website and they list many myths of step families and step parenting, and instant family is myth number 4. So, yes.
That should be number 1.
That's right. It should be number 1.
It should
one.
Be number 1. But I think everybody goes into it with the desire to be the best parent they can be, even called step. You know,
mm-hmm. I agree with that. I think that's, in general, that's
why,
true.
I mean, you know, I mean, otherwise you wouldn't even stay in that relationship, it seems like, mm-hmm. you know, other than to do that. But
in fact, the motivation to parent right sometimes makes step-parents try too hard. And I talk about that a lot in the book.
So there is a process to sort of familyizing or becoming family with a step. Isn't right,
yes.
And you've identified that there's sort of 3 developmental phases.
Yes, exactly.
So what does that look like?
Okay, and I need to say I'm paraphrasing from some groundbreaking work by a psychologist named Patricia Paperneau. She published a book called Becoming a Step Family in 1993, and it was the very first time that anyone did research and concluded and published that step family formation is distinct.
And hard work sometimes.
Exactly, and from biological family formation. So, and I've gone ahead and paraphrased her phases into good. My own friendly language. But the first phase is what I call fantasy to reality. And this is a phase that can be quite long. It can be 7 years, 10 years.
Oh, okay. When you said quite long, I'm thinking, okay, 6 months, maybe a year.
No.
Okay, so you're talking through the entire half the life of the kids, depending on what age they are when you get them. Okay. Wow.
So this is the phase where we think we can make it work without doing that hard work. Mm-hmm. And it's the phase where the step parents, but everybody's expectations are reality until proven otherwise. Mm-hmm. And it's just an amazing process of trying things and living things and sometimes banging up against a wall and going, why is life like this? Why can't life be easier? So I have a couple of interesting stories that represent that phase. The first is a step-parent I interviewed, let's just call her Lauren. She was actually the nanny to the kids who became her stepkids when the mother was going through a terminal illness, and she had just a fabulous relationship with them as a nanny. Mm-hmm. But then after their mom passed away and she eventually married their dad, everything changed. They treated her like they barely knew who she was. And one of the symptoms of this fantasy to reality phase is that everybody in the family has this increasing snowball of frustration and disappointment, but nobody's really talking about it. So there's this penting up. So one day, Lauren was just she exploded. She said, I am so tired of being stuck with you guys.
Ooh.
And her husband turned around and said quietly, well, you know, we're stuck with you too.
Yeah.
And that was a huge aha moment for her that she was not, because she was feeling like the outsider, she felt like she was the only one going through pain. Mm-hmm. And it was that moment where she realized, oh my gosh, we all have our pain in this process. And sometimes it takes an aha moment like that to transition out of that fantasy to reality phase, because suddenly you go, oh, maybe I should revisit my expectations about this family. Maybe the role that I've chosen isn't the role that the kids want me to play.
Mm. Well, and there's a whole different dynamic here, isn't there, with kids who are in grieving, you know, and going through the process of grieving.
Yes.
And I don't know that much about children in the grief process and how, but I assume it's fairly similar to adults in the grief process, except that kids don't verbalize the same way.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. And it depends on the age of the kids, how they can or do verbalize. But I think the three big differences with bereaved children as opposed to children in a divorce who know there's another parent around that they mm-hmm. can visit or see sometimes are, first of all, the kids really have a hole in their heart.
Mm, yeah.
There's no one physically there. And it is up to not only the surviving parent, but also the step-parent to continue the memories of that person who's not there. And that's very complicated.
Okay, that just adds this whole level of weird to me. I deal with the other parent, you know, at a very distant place. But then, for instance, now my stepdaughter has shown, suddenly there's a wedding photo in her room.
Yes, you know? Yes, and, I went through that.
and I don't even want to walk in her room because it's sort of this, and I know that it's not about me.
Exactly.
And I think that's an important thing, is that so much of this is not about us.
It isn't. It's totally about the experience of the child. And actually, I've separated the book into three parts. The first part is just for the step-parent. It just lets the step-parent read and learn and go, yeah, I feel that
crazy.
Too.
Right?
I'm not alone. And yes, that happened to me. But then, then we move out of fantasy to reality and we go to part two, which is you have a child or children who have a hole in their heart. You know?
Yeah.
And the only way the family is really going to progress is if you take the high road of the big person and help them. And you need to help them continue the bond with that parent. And things like the wedding photo need to be allowed and even validated mm-hmm. by the step-parent. And it really does take a big person with a thick skin to do that for most of us.
Well, sure. I mean, to be able to say, here, you know, it's really okay with me that you have this.
Yes.
So that they don't feel bad too. Yeah. You know, because I would think that kids, little kids especially, that are sensitive to that sort of dynamic would be sitting on, well, I don't want to make this person feel bad, but I miss my mom. And, you know, that's got to be an awkward spot for them too.
Mm-hmm. And even if you eventually, as the step parent, can get to the point where you can open the door to the room, see the photo, and go, oh, that reminds me, I wanted to ask you this about your mom or dad, whoever passed away. Mm-hmm. You know, what was their favorite ice cream? You know, I've been thinking about that because we've been making homemade ice cream, and we should make your mom or dad's favorite ice cream flavor.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
You know, just eventually becoming comfortable enough to know, as you said, it's not me, and having the empathy to draw out the child to talk about that parent. And no, then that child knows, oh, they're interested, they care.
Mm-hmm. Well, and they know that that you don't feel threatened by their missing their other parent, or that you don't think that they're choosing, you know, their memories over you or something. I mean, you know, I know that all has to get very complicated sometimes, but that is really, I think that's a really different thing in this idea of kids who are grieving or abandoned versus kids whose parent moved to, you know, Texas or whatever.
Right. You're climbing some really tall walls with a child who's lost a parent. There's reduced trust. There is a fear that nothing is permanent. Mm. There's a hesitancy to create any kind of intimacy, because getting close and then losing that is really too much to bear. So yes, little things, little baby steps toward cracking the ice mm-hmm. and putting a chink in the armor and just letting the child know that you're there for them, and let them come to you in their time. And eventually, over time, don't think for a minute that this happens quickly.
It's not 6 months to a year. I'm getting that.
No. And, you know, I'm speaking now. My stepchildren are 23 and 21.
Okay. And you started this when they were 6 and 8.
Yes. Wow. 6 and 8. Exactly. So, and honestly, some of the realizations I'm sharing with you, I have only lit up upon in the last maybe 5 or 6 years. And a lot of it's been through my own research, but a lot of it has been talking with other step-parents in this same situation, interviewing them for the book, and also I started a blog and having readers write in on the blog.
So I'm curious, too, now, is this experience fairly similar for stepmoms and stepdads, or is there a difference depending on which role you are in that?
Mm-hmm. I think traditionally, women are more tuned to be caregivers and nurturers, not that we all are, and men are more tuned to maybe step back and view the situation from a distance and then jump in and provide solutions where they can. I have talked to several stepfathers, and it seems like they have a little bit better handle on letting the child define the role.
Oh, wow.
Whereas I think as moms,
we want to be mom.
We see a gap and we want to dive right in and fill that gap as a nurturer and a mother. I would say that's the big difference. In terms of taking things personally and hurt feelings, I was actually surprised to hear that the men feel those things as often as the women do, but they find ways to move through it without lashing out or snapping back or taking too much of their spouse's, you know, bending the spouse's ear too much. So I think the way they handle this rejection that is inevitable and has nothing to do with you, really. Let's not say that enough.
Just breathe through the R word. You're going to experience this.
That's right. It's going to happen.
It's going to happen. But you're not my mom will come out of someone's mouth
at some point.
Just like the things that we heard when we were kids that we swore we would never say eventually come out of mouths as well.
And you look in the mirror and go,
What happened to me? You mean I really just said? If your friends jumped off a brick cliff.
Would you do it too?
Yeah, sometimes I'm amazed by the things that pop out. And I just go, oh, I never thought I would say that. But there you go.
Parenting is life's biggest adventure.
Clearly.
Well, we'll cover more about this journey with Step Family Development Phases 2 and 3 in the next audio segment.